Welcome to another episode of Brain Leakage, a podcast where I review past Doctor Who episodes. Well, actually all Doctor Who episodes, hopefully, from the beginning to the end. It's been a little while since I think we reviewed an episode, a few episodes, because between hurricanes and elections, we didn't get it done. But tonight we're going to review the first episode of the classic first Doctor Who story, The Daleks. And I'll start that right now, and we can get to talking. One thing I'd want to mention right off is the fact that I did record like a episode that dealt with a top 10 list, a top 5 list of Doctor Who episodes, favorite Doctor Who stories, and one covering one of the books. And I'm going to do more of that in the future with fill-in episodes, maybe between stories. But this story, like a lot of the early stories of Doctor Who, leads straight from the previous story, the first Doctor Who story, An Unearthly Child. And we get into the first Dalek story, which isn't my favorite Dalek story. My favorite one is probably the one that just about everybody chooses, which is Genesis of the Daleks. But I like this one. I like when the Dalek still, I'm glad they evolved from what they are in this story, which was very city-centric, and they really couldn't go outside the city very much. I think to this characters be another stretch to what they would eventually become, that had to have been eliminated, or they wouldn't have been able to do very much. This story is also known as Serial B, and I'm going to get a lot of this information from the Doctor Who story guide, which I don't know if they still update it, but one of the best story guides of any show I've ever seen is www.drwhoguide.com. You should check it out. It's pretty cool. A lot of good information on there. Written by Terry Nation, directed by Christopher Barry, at least for episodes 1. 2 and 4 and 5, and Richard Martin for 3, 6, and 7. And then incidental music composed and conducted by Tristram Carey. This is the story where the Doctor basically sends them on another adventure in a way, purposely. The story is originally entitled The Mutants, but it's another one of the stories where originally the individual episodes had their own title, but that changed later. And when Doctor Who started to be seen as like a story, so you'd have 4 or 5 of the small episodes and that was a story. Different from today where they've adapted more of an American approach, but these individual episodes that are now known collectively as the Daleks at one time did have their own separate titles. From like the first episode was originally The Dead Planet, Second Survivors, The Escape, The Ambush, The Expedition, Ordeal and Rescue. Several of those actually went to be known as Doctor Who stories later, the titles of. The story's been released on DVD and video. Soundtrack has been released. There's a novelization of it. If you check out the classic novelizations, if you get a chance to check those out, they're actually really good. And a lot of them have more information. They were able to expand on it. And most of the time that works, and it's really good. I love Susan's curiosity early in this episode, and I always find that fascinating. And I thought Brown and Ford did a good job. One of my biggest problems with this is that, like, they separate the Daleks and the Thals, and they make the Thals kind of stupid in a way. They're peacefully stupid, or stupidly peaceful. I don't know which one, one or the other. A good book, if you want to check out, for little tie-ins back to this, is Byzantine. And you know, the main part of it takes place in another story. Like, it has good references to this. So you can check that out. Those novels are, I think, is Byzantine a new adventure novel? Let me look that up real quick. Oh no, it was when BBC took over. You should check that out though. That's a good one. I haven't read a ton of First Doctor original novels, but that one was one that I read and I own. I think it's pretty good. Like I said, I'm gonna do one episode here. I was thinking about doing the whole story, and I might do that in the future sometimes. But right now, I'm gonna do this episode and see how it goes. So right now, you have the Ian and Barbara disappointed that they didn't make it back to Earth, and they're talking about that. Gets to be a little irritating as time goes on, but it's actually pretty realistic the way the actors portray it. And the reason why it's not really irritating, they're complaining about not going home, is they do a good job of portraying man trying to talk without teeth is hard, portraying two people who are scared about not being able to return home. So the actors make it work, or I don't think it would have worked, and right away it would have been irritating to have them complaining about not going home so much. But they do a good job of like almost going back in a way of giving them a chance that they didn't get in the first proper story to deal with the situation they were in this story, to get to talk about stuff a little more, which I think works pretty well. I mean, I think of the first TARDIS crew, Susan stands out, even beyond the Doctor. I think Carolyn M. Ford's presence, acting, energy, and everything just stands out for Jan among all the other characters and actors. Sorry for Dion, I'm like late after work recording this, so I need to start recording more on a regular basis. I want this to be a weekly podcast, and also I need to get quite a few in the can, because December is going to be a pretty busy day. I mean, pretty busy month for me. Work is pretty busy. Also got 10 Universe Middle Grade Series number 4 is coming out, so check that out. Keep up to date on 10 Universe stuff at 10universe.blogspot.com. But yeah, so I'm going to try to keep these up. I want to get guests on here, so I'm going to invite a few Doctor Who people I know to see if they would like to come on and record a podcast and talk about certain stories or certain episodes, or even just Doctor Who in general. And those could be special episodes of Doctor Who. I think that would be interesting to have that. One of the reasons why I'm doing these solo ones instead of finding somebody to do them with, like, do them all with, was to help with speech therapy of where I don't have teeth right now. And it helps with my confidence to talk, because a lot of times at my job, because I don't have to, I don't talk that much because I don't have to. And that's not really good. I need to keep talking. And keep my confidence up when it comes to talking, not just with speech therapy and talking, but, and that'll have to also go on when I get my teeth, so I can do that. But, so right now, like, it's kind of hard, because when I talk, my mouth gets really dry. I don't know the science behind that with the teeth, but it does, so I have to drink a lot. So if you hear anything, that's a rum and coke. Yeah. But I love old sci-fi jungle sets, because they were just so creative the way they did it on sound stages. And especially with like science fiction, they were able to explore and make it work in ways that probably wouldn't have worked in the past, I don't think. I don't mean like it wouldn't have worked in the past, but I mean like, sorry, stumbling on that work. I mean, wouldn't work now. God, this episode's gonna be a mess the way I'm talking. You can't get away with it, and some of that has to do with the black and white, and it's non-digital and stuff, but I really love it. I mean, if I was in charge of a TV show, I would just do some of these type of old sets just to make everything look different. I just think it would be a pretty cool thing to have, is to do. I've always thought, like, every world should be different, why not have one that kind of looks like an old TV show or an old play, and you know, do different effects, do a model effect for this world, do an animated effect for this world and stuff, and you make it more unique. That's hard to do, like I say it now, because I don't have to actually be on a set and try to do that. But I think it would be interesting to actually do that. I think it would be interesting to try and make every episode unique, which I think Doctor Who was trying to do in the early days when almost everyone of them was pretty unique and groundbreaking at times. The Daleks was like standout. If you go back and look, the Daleks is a standout episode, standout story in a way, because it's also like a proper science fiction one in the middle of these where they were doing pseudo historicals and stuff like that. It's the first, like, I mean, one where they were like, oh, well, we're gonna go jump from that. And then you got with the Daleks, the fact that this is one of the episodes that was adapted. It was adapted by Milton Subotosky, which I'm looking it up on Wikipedia to get the name, try to get the name right, as Doctor Who and the Daleks starring Peter Cushing, which I own those, and yes, I will review those eventually. I don't know when. Maybe I'll do the first movie after this, since it kind of like, you know, fits in with this because it's an adaptation of this story. I enjoy the Peter Cushing movies. Yes, I wish they would have did it with the Doctor at the time, and yes, I wish, which I think this the Peter Cushing movies were made during Jon Pertwee, the Third Doctor's era. But I think they're good. Peter Cushing's really good in them, and I think overall they're good. Ian Barber's thing's different. I enjoy it a lot. I mean, I think like people should check out those movies. Like, they're great. They remind me of like if Hammer tried to do a science fiction movie. It might be just as I'm saying that because it was British, so I automatically think it might be something, you know, Hammer-wise. Oh, I might have to do some editing on this because like I'm tired and really need to record these, but now I'm gonna try to make them different as I can and like do some at night, do some in different places. If I'm gonna be doing a lot of these by myself, I need to give each one kind of a twist. So I'm gonna think on that and see how to give the viewing experience maybe a twist and make it different. Right now, they're first appearance of the food dispenser, which I think in one of the books, I think, if I remember, I think Ace actually makes it work really good, makes hamburgers out of it or something, or maybe Gronk burgers, for the British comics fans. But this is like pre-replicator Star Trek stuff where they made like food bars and stuff. But I like the fact that, like, I remember when I originally watched these episodes, it was years and years and years later after I watched Doctor Who, and I was like, why is the TARDIS so big in these? Like, you never got to see that much and that much equipment or anything in my era of Doctor Who, which was like, fourth and fifth Doctor was my era, my original era of Doctor Who. But yeah, the TARDIS got smaller, the sets got smaller as time went on. I find it interesting looking at little things like that, because obviously that was budgetary reasons and stuff. And, catching myself watching the show right now, because, like, I love Doctor Who. Like, I watch it all the freaking time. And Mar's probably happy that Doctor Who's no longer on Hulu, because, like, I was constantly watching on Hulu because it's like, oh, it's easy, I don't have to get out the DVD or anything. And just now the Doctor sabotaged the TARDIS, putting everybody in danger for his own self, so he could get his way. And man, look at Hartnell's hair. That's some wild hair. Someone mentioning Mercury at this time must have been like when I was a kid and somebody mentioned radiation in any way. You could use that as a catch-all for science fiction stories. And in here, Mercury is used that way. Not that Mercury was just discovered then, but I think the overall population may not have. It would have been enough lack of knowledge about it for it to be like something mysterious. And now the Doctor is manipulating it. They don't mean to going back to the city. And William Hartnell looks kind of like a witch. Like, I'm serious, dude. He could be in drag right now as a witch. Really old Mormon could play William Hartnell really well. Dawson, some really, really good cross-gender, I think, is that gender-bending cosplay might be the better term. I don't know for sure, but, of, like, females playing William Hartnell's doctor. There's just, I just think it works really well. I don't know why it does, but it seems to be just great cosplayers. There's a lot of them. I'm sitting here, glancing at the Wikipedia entry on the target novelization. Is interesting. Like, quoting it, the Wikipedia entry, it talks about, well, the book differs from most, later novelizations as it is written in the first person and from the point of view of a companion, in this case, Ian Chesterton. It also ignores events that are preceding Serial and Earthly Child, except for modified retelling of the first episode. They explain how Ian and Barbara joined the Doctor. Here, Ian meets the Doctor, Barbara, who is Susan's tutor. Susan owned Barnes Common after a car crash. The novel also plays up the romantic tension between the two human companions and features a glass Dalek leader on Skaro, which is interesting because I think one of the newer Sixth Doctor, audio adventures from Big Finish actually has like a stained glass Dalek, from what I've seen from some of the ads from it. In this novelization though, continuing the Wikipedia entry, it says Susan Foreman is renamed Susan English for the novelization, which led to some reference books listing the character by this name. In the PC game Destiny of the Daleks, the player has to ask the First Doctor the surname of Susan for one of the tasks. Both English and Foreman are available options, though only the latter is considered correct in the game. It goes to say like other stuff, but it's positioned as a BBC audio Doctor Who thought Daleks was in a script book, which is interesting too. But I think this story, though, like I said, is not my favorite. It actually has one of the best early cliffhangers. Like I said, the acting of these actors and actresses really makes some of the stuff work that shouldn't. And one of the things that makes this cliffhanger work is the fear it's shown in Barbara as she's trapped in this room on in the Dalek City, or trapped, separated from the others. She does a good job, even though I don't think they do a good job, you know, right away. Maybe another radiation sign would have showed it is how weak she's getting. Not only like frantic and scared, but weak by radiation levels being in the city. But the practical effects of having the doors closed is very good, and then you have the lighting of of like another door going over the see-through doors, I think makes it work good. And even like the opening of pushing your hand across the sensor to open the door, that's of course a very easy practical effect, but it's one of those things you could do with low budget effects for a science fiction show, and it works, and it works very well. I think more shows should do it. And for somebody has made a couple of little shorts in his lifetime, like short films, which for anybody else, no, I don't have any copies of it, stuff it was, but practical effects work really good. And there's the scream and terror, the body language works very well, and you're really terrified for her, and you have never seen a Dalek yet to know that they kind of look silly, but kind of terrifying too. So that's the first episode of the Daleks. Like I said, I'm going to try to record a bunch of these. Try to make sure we get it weekly. I'm going to try to get guests in. If anybody's interested, shoot me an email at hangawednesday@gmail.com or visit me on my Facebook or on Twitter at hangawednesday. Also, I have a Patreon account at patreon.com/hangawednesday, so if you'd like to drop something there. And I hope to see y'all soon, and next episode I promise will be a lot better than this one. Bye.
Oh, I've been waiting in the airport bar for hours. Yeah, I've I've been wondering if they're gonna make me drink all day. Last call, calling on a non-stop back to the heartland. They're calling on your getaway. Trying to slide by on Kodachrome kisses and headlines. Did I tell you that I wish you were here? Invisible man, catch me stumbling out of the underground. I just want to disappear. London is calling. Everybody cut and run. Come see what drink and the devil have done. Midnight rider on the Jubilee down to the high street. Oh, Rue Britannia showed you how to rise and fall. Oh, I remember the 4th of July up on Hempstead Heath alone. Ain't no rockets red glare. Don't you know that nobody cares about another lost ugly American in this town? Preacher's reaching out. You've been lonely and you've been lost. Oh, I know it's true. But every American girl thinks she's run out of time. London is calling. Calling, calling. Ooh. Calling. London is calling. Everybody cut and run.